Good morning. My name is Denise, and I'll be facilitating today's call. I'd now like to turn the call over to Beth Cooper. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. I'd first like to thank those that are joining us on the call today, and then secondly, thank those in the room. We're today doing our earnings conference call live from Delaware State University in our hometown of Dover, Delaware, and we appreciate so many of the faculty, the dean, so many of those individuals being able to join us as well as students. It's a great opportunity for us to be able to get out and work with the university in these types of settings. I'm going to begin today's call first, moving to slide 2. I know everyone on the call is familiar. We have our standard disclosures around forward-looking statements. Certainly, I would refer everyone to the forward-looking information that we provide in our Form 10-K. We will talk about various projections, but you should always look at those in light of those disclosures that we provide around them in our public documents. We thought today a good place to start the call, we've had quite a few questions from the financial community, would be to discuss the most recent hurricane, Hurricane Matthew, and what impact that may have had, if any, on the company. And so I'm going to turn our call over to Mike McMasters, President and CEO, and he'll discuss that.
Thank you, Bill. I mentioned earlier that, we did have that hurricane a little while ago, and I'm just going to brief everybody real quick on what's happened. We've gotten a lot of questions about this. There was a tremendous amount of work that was done up front to prepare for the hurricane. I'm skipping over that just to kind of, in the interest of time here, but basically, I'm just picking up from where the hurricane was just quickly approaching the island. We had a mandatory evacuation on the island at 6 a.m. on Thursday. We shut down our combined heat and power plant on the island shortly thereafter. The hurricane impacts from Thursday, from October 6th to Saturday, October 8th. On a Saturday morning at 8:30, our trucks were lined up at bridge to get back on the island to go check out the facilities and get customers turned back on service, except that it was lost. Our trucks were actually the first group of people back on the island. We lined up early, and as soon as the Florida Department of Transportation ruled that the bridge was safe, we drove across the island and started our work. When we got there, we found that 90% of our electric customers without power. There were fortunately minimal damage done to our natural gas and propane systems, no damage to the Storm Harbor transmission poles, no damage to our Florida FPU operations center on the island. This is a pretty big deal. There's a lot of stuff that has been done over the last 5 or 6 years by our Florida Public Utilities team to strengthen the poles on the island to make those more able to withstand storms. The most important thing, I'll say another important factor, is there was no damage to the Eight Flags combined heat and power plant. It's an elevated platform on pilings where the plant sits. It's designed for Hurricane Category 4 storm, so we were pretty well prepared. It had been, regular Category 4 storm earlier in the week. We were fortunate, that it came in slightly below that. Restoration. And once we got back on the island, we had the power plant up and running within 3 hours. We had 12,000 of the 14,000 electric outages fixed in the first day. The next day, we increased that to 800 more customers. So by the time we got to Monday, we only had 200 without power, and were able to get that done on Monday. So it was a very quick restoration. Approximately $1 million cost, plus or minus. We do have a storm reserve in place, so that does not impact earnings. And there were no accidents or injuries. A lot of work done quickly. No one hurt, and everyone back on service. So it was a very good day. I think I did miss one piece of damage that was done. I think Jeff Householder's dock was torn up, and so Jeff's on the phone, so he had to add any details to that situation. Yes, I'm going to jump in a couple slides here real quick while I've got the floor. You think about, when I think about what we're doing as a company to try to grow the company, we look a lot at this gas at the bottom, you'll see engagement strategies, providing strategic infrastructure for sustainable growth. You'll see safety, reliability, customer satisfaction, et cetera. But really what it is, we have a lot of top-notch, high-quality employees, and they're highly engaged. And so they're going to build relationships with our customers, with the communities we serve. They're going to make sure that our systems are safe and reliable. And with that, I'm going to say, as a foundation, you know, we create a good reputation in the community, and that frees up a lot of time for us, as whether you're executives or whether you're on the front line with the customers, to focus on growth. And so with that, you know, we're looking very aggressively for growth opportunities, whether it's inside our footprint here on the peninsula, Florida, Ohio, or it's outside. We're going to look anywhere that a growth opportunity makes sense for us. We're going to try to make sure that we're participating in that growth opportunity. And if you look at the top of the triangle, you'll see results, you know, safety awards, top workplace and top leadership awards, community service awards, achieving top quartile growth in earnings, and top quartile total shareholder return. So we're proud of all of those things. Real quickly, I'll hit this first slide, and I'll hand back over to Beth. Third quarter and year-to-date results exceeded our expectations. So we are very comfortable with where we are today. We know that our growth is working. Our forecast indicated that we would not get as earnings as high as we are right now, both on a year-to-date basis and also for the quarter. We're getting growth from expansions as well as customer growth within our territories. Gate Flags was a critical contributor in the third quarter, generated margin operating income as expected. We're very pleased with how that project has worked out and how it's working today. On November 2nd, we announced that we had signed all the preceding agreements necessary for us to make a filing with the FERC to do an expansion with our Eastern Shore Natural Gas Pipeline. This would be the largest expansion in our history. Approximately $99 million project, about $15 million here in Martin. Imagine port operations were minimally impacted by Hurricane Matthew. And then finally, we issued stock quarter to quarter, netting $57.3 million. I'd say it's a fairly large stock issuance for us in our history, but nowadays it's fairly small. It's kind of amazing how much we've grown and how things have changed.
So now really just to dig in and take a look at the financial results, first beginning with the quarter. I'm turning to slide 10 for those on the phone. For the quarter, we reported $4.4 million of net income, which basically represents 29 cents per share. Recall, and I know many of those on the phone know that, you know, the third quarter for us in terms of overall contribution for the company is typically the lowest when you look at when, where and when our earnings fall due to the seasonality of our businesses. So 29 cents for the quarter. As Mike mentioned, there's a lot of growth in here, though, that really is going on that we want to highlight and walk you through. So turning to slide 11, beginning with our regulated energy segment. That segment had higher gross margin of about $4.7 million that ultimately translated into about $1.3 million of increased operating income. It didn't really come from just one area, though, and consistent with what we've been talking about for the last several quarters, there were multiple areas where we had growth throughout the company. First and foremost includes our natural gas expansions that we made on the transmission and distribution side. Those generated about $1.6 million in terms of incremental margin. Above and beyond that, we had $943,000 of new customer growth. That's customer growth in our distribution operations, as well as additional margin that we're generating in our transmission operations. We also generated $920,000 incremental margin from our gas reliability and infrastructure program. That's a gas pipe replacement program that's been in place since August of 2012 in Florida. By the end of this year, we'll have invested close to $100 million in that program. So very substantial in terms of the contribution that it's making each quarter in terms of gross margin. in our Delaware rate case. We've implemented interim rates to the tune of overall $2.5 million on an annual basis. The impact for the quarter was $469,000. I'll talk about year-to-date in a few minutes. And then lastly, service by our natural gas distribution and transmission companies in Florida to bring natural gas to that combined heat and power plant that Mike talked about added close to another $500,000. On the unregulated side of our business, there was also growth. Our Eight Flags CHP plant went into operation. That generated incremental margin of $1.6 million. When you look at gross margin, though, for this particular business on slide 7, though, or this particular segment, what you will see, though, is gross margin is relatively flat. And that's because year over year, we had some non-recurring items, and we also had lower retail margins per gallon in our propane distribution operation, which we've been talking about for a very long period of time, of those margins returning to more normal levels. So when we break that down and look at some of those factors that offset that $1.6 million that was contributed by Eight Flags, the retail propane margins declining was about $414,000. The timing of costs that we had related to one of the contracts that we've entered into by our PESCO subsidiary, we incurred about 20% of costs associated with an annual contract, and basically we have volumes of about 5% during that quarter. Lastly, we had some non-recurring imbalance positions that Aspire had in 2015. But overall, once again, there's growth, a lot of growth in this segment. We see the $1.6 million, and overall year-to-date, we'll talk about the other growth throughout this segment. In terms of the 9 months, where are we? One of the things that I like to take a look at, shown on slide 13, is as we started this year and we moved through the year, we had over $10 million of gross margin that we needed to overcome, $7.5 million of that coming from the weather, $2.2 million of that coming from expected lower retail propane margins per gallon. We overcame all of that, and we're moving beyond that. So as you see on slide 13, our gross, in terms of our operating income, we're up by about $700,000, which is being led by gross margin increases. We've experienced gross margin increases of $5.5 million coming from those natural gas transmission and distribution expansions, $3.1 million coming from GRIP. I talked about that earlier. Another $2.6 million of gross margin growth coming from other customer growth within our natural gas distribution and transmission operations, $2 million coming from our interim rates in our Delaware division, that's about $1.35 million of that $2 million. And then we've also implemented system improvement rates in our sandpiper operation, that's about $600,000 to $700,000. And then lastly, our Eight Flag service from our distribution and transmission operations generated just under $1 million. On the unregulated side of the house, we also generated $4.5 million of incremental margin from our newest subsidiary, Aspire Energy. Additionally, the A-Flight CHP plant added 1.7 in terms of what it's selling to Rainier in terms of the steam generation. And then lastly, $1.1 million was generated from our PESCO marketing company due to the opportunity to serve new customers as well as favorable supply management. So overall, year over year, when you look at us, our net income is up. We've overcome $10 million plus in terms of gross margin from the weather, which, you know, we can control, as well as the expectation of lower retail margins. And so overall, when you factor in a higher level of shares year over year, our earnings per share is at $2.14 compared to $2.16 last year. Taking a look at it from an earnings per share standpoint, this is where it really stands out for myself. You'll see I talked about the weather. This is on slide 14. Weather is basically 31 cents per share. In addition to that, those lower expected retail margins were 9 cents, and we had a recovery from a billing system settlement in 2015. The net impact of that is basically 6 cents per share, so 46 cents downward pressure on earnings that has been more than overcome by 67 cents of gross margin increases for the reasons that I just went through. Additionally, Aspire Energy was accretive in its first year, and looking at the 9 months, has added 8 cents per share. So where has this growth that I talked about, so many different factors of growth coming from year-to-date basis, we've invested about $106 million in new capital expenditures this year. Our original budget was $179 million. We believe right now we put a kind of a range in our public documents of $150 to $170 million. So we've taken the midpoint here and said basically, you know, we're targeting and we believe right now we'll be close to that $160 million. We've completed that CHP plant. That's done, so that capital's already been spent. We're in the process of constructing our reliability project as well as our mainline expansion project. Those are underway, each just under $40 million. And in addition to that, we've been doing the GRIP replacement program as well as some other initiatives. Turning to slide 16, just in terms of having the balance sheet to be able to support those capital investments, we've positioned ourselves to hopefully, you know, as we move forward, we have the balance sheet in place that will support our continual growth. When you take a look at where we sit at the end of September, we're approximately $750 million of book capitalization as a company. Of that amount, we've got approximately $438 million of equity, which represents just under 59% equity to total capitalization. Our target as a company is 50 to 60%, so well within our target range. Moving to slide 17, Mike talked briefly about that equity issuance, and we wanted to just highlight that. We were very pleased with how well-received the equity placement was in the market. The equity issuance was led. We had two book runners, Wells Fargo and RBC Capital Markets. We also had six managers that participated, including Janney Montgomery, Baird, Hilliard Lyons, Ladenburg Thalmann, BB&T, and U.S. Capital. What was interesting for us was when we initiated the equity offering, there was interest that represented more than 300% of what we were trying to raise. And so a very good sign, that we are hopefully developing and continue to develop a great relationship with new markets, new investors. Our existing investors continue to hopefully be pleased with our results and where we're headed in terms of our strategy. And so we were able to raise that. We issued the stock at $62.26. Our allocation was 69% retail, 31% institutional. We had existing institutional investors participate. We had new institutional investors get involved. And we placed our stock throughout the company through various channels. So we believe a win-win. We exercised the green shoe. So from our perspective, hopefully, you know, also well-received by the investment community. Turning to slide 18. We continue to be focused on our dividend growth. Most recently in May, our board increased our dividend. Our annualized dividend is $1.22. Earlier this week, the board declared the quarterly dividend that equals that annualized amount. We're now paying dividends for 56 consecutive years, and all of those years either maintaining or increasing our dividend. Our most recent dividend increase represents a 6.1% increase or 5.8% over the last 5 years. What's important to us, though, is that when we have dividend growth, we want that dividend growth to be supported by sustainable earnings growth. And that's really what we've been looking for and trying to achieve throughout the years. Moving on to slide 19, we talked a lot about the various components of the gross margin increases. And this is a table in our press release where we try to lay out the projects that are underway, projects that have been completed, so that we can define where we feel there's, you know, future opportunity and growth in terms of the margin from these projects that are done as well as those that are to be completed. If you take a look at 2016 compared to 2015, our expectation is that gross margin from those projects will have represented an incremental margin of $22 million for us as a company. As we look into 2017 right now, that estimate is right around $10 million of incremental margin that we've identified from the Just These projects. Please keep in mind when I talked earlier about organic growth, that's not in this table. We'll have a filing forthcoming as it relates to our Eastern Shore Natural Gas operation. At this time, that's not in this table. As things become, you know, more firm in regards to expectations, we include them on these tables, or if they're projects that are going to be put in the public domain, they get added at that time. And then lastly, right now, our projection is for 2018 over 17, we would have incremental margin of $17.5 million from these projects that we've identified. Some of those that are included on that slide on slide 19 wanted to update everyone as it relates to those. So our Sandpiper filing in regards to that particular rate case, the settlement agreement was approved on October 29th. The new rates go into effect on December 1st. Initially, it will be a revenue neutral situation. Over time, those rates to customers will decline, but many of you will recall that we also implemented a process where we're converting customers. And in conjunction with that, the rates and what we'll be earning on that process will offset to some degree those lower returns and earnings that's coming out of the rate case. In our Delaware division, we're in the process of settlement discussions. There's been a two-phase approval process by the PSC as it relates to interim rates. The first tranche was $2.5 million, which we have implemented. And recall earlier I talked about that our margin reflected both for the quarter and year-to-date incremental margin for the Delaware rate case. In the case of the quarter, it was under $500,000. In the case of year-to-date, it's about $1.35 million. There was a second tranche of rate increases to bring it up to our full request. We have reserved for that second tranche of rate increases pending the final PSC approval. And lastly, I made reference to our Eastern Shore Natural Gas subsidiary. We're going to be required to come back in there and file a rate case, and we're targeting by the end of January for that, with rates proposed to be effective on March 1st. And so with that, I'm going to turn it now back to Mike.
Here. I guess you've already seen this slide 21, so I'm going to skip over that. I'll try to move through these things pretty quickly. Eight Flags, we talked about that a little bit earlier. I'm just going to skip over this thing, just mention a couple of things. One, $40 million investment in the project, annual margin expected to be with some other stuff that we're doing on that project, $8.2 million, and savings to the residents on the island are $3 to $4 million. The Eastern Shore expansion, I just talked about that somewhat. You can see pretty much our map of the peninsula, see what that covers. We've signed some FERC work we have to do, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. The pre-filing process is underway, and so we're getting moving, and we also have all the preceding agreements, so we can start putting together our filing with FERC to get approval to construct the project. Real quickly, as I mentioned, $99 million capital investment, $15.7 million in the first full year of operations after the service. We'll go in service in the fourth quarter, 17 late in the fourth quarter. So most of the margin impacts will be, or a great majority of the margin impacts will be in 18 as opposed to 17. This performance quadrant is a pretty important slide for us. You'll notice the weighted average ROE is on the vertical axis, and capital expenditures, total capitalization is on the horizontal axis. And what we're looking at here is basically, you know, if we tend to, I want to talk about the capital expenditure first, the horizontal axis, we can deploy a lot of capital, make the investments, and we can do that right now. You can see in this peer group, there are only two companies higher than us, and this is basically a pretty broad group in the peer group. There was no, as you say, cherry picking in here. You can see two companies greater than we are. Then if you look at the ROE, you can see we're about fifth. So when you do that, and you can deploy a tremendous amount of capital and get higher returns, that should drive earnings per share growth. It does take all the work by the business units to identify and develop those opportunities. But from a financial perspective, as you can see on slide 26, that it can really drive returns, total shareholder return. So if you look to the left-hand side, for example, 1 year, 53% ranking on the group. I think that's basically about 17.4% shareholder return. If you look at the 3 year, 23.1% shareholder return, 5 year, 21%, and 10 year, 15.5%. And this is compared to the broader New York Stock Exchange. And you can see we're hitting 75th percentile numbers, three out of those 4 periods. And so there's some high performance coming out of those. Of his financial results. This is just a table of metrics, financial metrics, that we look at periodically. As you can see, in all but three time big deal for us, and we're working hard to maintain this or actually continue to accelerate our growth. With that, I'll turn it over. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for a moment as questions come into queue. Your first question comes from Spencer Joyce with Hillard Lyons. Your line is open.
That's Mike. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Just one really quick one for me here, and I actually have to hop off onto the South Jersey call. But I did want to ask about the Sandpiper rate case and the new rates going into effect in December. I know you mentioned revenue neutral. I know Sandpiper we've talked about kind of on the periphery for a few years now, and is that revenue neutral about what you expected? I know. Mike, you've mentioned that's kind of a long game there, you know, as we get those customers converted over the next few years. I'm just wondering how the ultimate outcome there kind of jived with your initial kind of hopes and expectations. Perfect. Thanks for the color there, and congrats on a good year this far, and we'll talk soon. Thanks.
Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions queued up on the phones. I turn the call back over to the presenters. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.